Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships.
Hello, and welcome back to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
And this is Ellis.
How's everybody doing out there? We appreciate you for listening to our third episode of Love Wins. This is our conversation about love, life, and relationships. I'm going to start off and say we're no gurus, but we have some experience, and we're brave enough to share with you. So thanks.
We are gurus. We approach love from a practical, common sense perspective. We have great conversation, and today we're going to talk about a unique topic. It's titled Insecure Love.
Insecure love.
So what is your interpretation of insecure love, Miss Benita?
So I think about, you know, I watched the HBO show Insecure.
Yes!
You watch that?
I do. It's my show.
So I watched that, and just looking at how Issa and Molly are, mm-hmm. you know, even though as much as they have certain things together, there's still these incidences, I should say, that where they're weak.
Yes.
You know, these characteristics that show weakness in both of them. And I think, so we translate that or bring that into a love situation. I think insecure love is when we bring our own insecurities into these, because I think it still goes back to us.
Yes. Yes. It's interesting because as I was watching that show, that's when the topic came to me. And I was thinking about how often I've been in a situation in which love was supposed to be present, but something was lacking, meaning that it wasn't secure. It wasn't tight. Something was missing. And you don't really figure out what's missing until after the fact. And so as I look at insecure love from my perspective, it has to do with finding or discovering a love outside of self in which nothing is missing, which all of the boxes check. Everything just comes together. And so even if I have some insecurities, then the other person's securities overrides my insecurities, and we just come together like glue. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like something is missing. You know, oftentimes we're dating someone and something is missing that we think is minor, which is actually major. And we move forward only to find out that the thing that we thought was minor was actually major. And it really causes us trauma in future relationships. So the idea for me is to find a secure love and to be able to discuss my insecurities with love authentically, openly, and honestly without the person being offended by my perspective. So going back to Molly and
the guy, Andrew?
I know, Issa.
Issa,
I got her name in the show. But their conversation is like something was always missing. You know, it's like either one person is not divulging enough, one person not being empathetic enough. In all their relationships, something is missing. It's like there's some doubt. There's some confusion, there's some misunderstanding. And the whole entire show is about doubt, confusion, and misunderstanding to me. But they seem to make it work. You know, is it healthy? I don't know. But I think love has to be secure. And so often I've seen a lot of insecure love.
Mm. You experienced that too?
Story of my life. Story of my life.
So when I think about like my own experiences with relationships and love, you know, I know there are some insecurities that, you know, I have had, but I know mostly my behavior could create insecurities in a relationship environment. You know, I'm very much a free spirit of, you know, kind of like a butterfly. You always say I'm born in 1969, the end of the flower children. So, you know, kind of Let's peace. Let's love everybody.
You're a hippie.
And so, yes. And so, you know, it could make one think that I'm not really into you, but I am, but I like a whole lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of, we kind of alluded to
last week. You're not a lawyer.
Right. I like a lot of things. You know, so I can still love you, but I can understand how that could create a complex situation in a love relationship. So do I create the insecurity that some people get? Probably. I probably created it.
Or is it the fact that you're entering into relationships with individuals who cannot contain you?
But I wonder if I met that person like me, could I handle it? That's a lot.
Oof.
I don't know. I've never met a me.
I have, yeah. me is a handful.
Me is a lot. Yes, I don't know.
But okay, so let's discuss that for a brief moment. Meeting someone, knowing that you are a lot, is that necessarily negative? Because you are who you are. And who you are is who you've evolved to be. And so if a person that you're in relationship with can't see the complexity of your beauty, then are they deserving of your love?
No. No. I mean, I think we have to be authentic. We mm-hmm. have to be our authentic selves. And so when you put that out there, who you are in the beginning, you know, I think it reduces the amount of heartbreak. Because if I give you as much of me as I can from the first moment that we meet, you know how people joke about folks going on the first date and the woman order a salad?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm going to order the full rack of ribs on the first date because that's what I want. And I'm going to eat them with my fingers because that's how you eat ribs. I'm not going to be cute. I don't eat fries with a fork. You know, I don't do any of that. So I'm going to give you who I am. I remember I went to the prom 100 years ago. Actually, I graduated from high school 33 years ago today. So when I went to the prom, I went with this guy. And he was just a good friend. He went to my church. And so everybody at, we went to Daryl's. Do you remember Daryl's?
I'm not from Richmond.
Okay. Well, Daryl's is like a rib house, basically. And so we went to Daryl's. And so everybody got on their prom dresses and white gloves and stuff, you know. And I knew all of these people because most of the folks were church members or my cousins or somebody. So I took off my gloves and I got down on those beef ribs, okay? So they were like, you gonna eat like that in your dress?
It's like, yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's real. Now that guy, he's still one of my very good friends because I was real from the beginning, but they
What's
sitting there trying
that?
To eat nothing, but they sitting there trying to be cute. When for real, if you had on your jeans and your sneakers, would you eat these ribs with a fork? No. So I ain't changing because I got on this dress. I'm not changing because it's prom night.
So did you still ain't there yourself?
I don't know. I wasn't wearing a dress again anyway. You know.
That's just hilarious.
And I'm going home when I finish.
Right. You know, I last night during our spiritual enrichment, we're talking about, you know, do you love yourself as God loves you? And most of us said no. And I think a part of this love discussion is really loving yourself the way God loves you and not allowing anyone to put you in a box. And as you indicated, when I go on a date, I'm going to get what I want. If someone says, hey, get what you want, well, I'm going to get what I want. I mean, why should you try to pretend to be something that you're not? But I think we have been taught in society to put up the farce, put the charades, to pretend, to be cute, and just instead of just being your authentic self.
Right.
So if you want ribs, you know, why not eat ribs?
That's an interesting point that you raised, though. Do we love ourselves the way God loves us? I mean, of course not. I mean, I think God's love is just so dynamic and so huge. And, you know, do we almost feel I mean, I don't know if I don't know if I even think I can love myself the way he does. However, I do really love myself. I was told by one person I was in a relationship with, and I think he was just tripping at the time, but he told me he was tired of me loving myself.
Oh, boy.
You about to be in for a rude awakening. But, you know, I'm supposed to, we're supposed to put ourselves first and not feel guilty about it.
Just think about that, especially for Black folk, how we have been systematically taught not to love ourselves, affirm ourselves, embrace ourselves, and then when we get around other folk who look like us, they have a problem with us and how we love ourselves. Mm-hmm. I never forget when T.O. Terrell Owens said, "I love me some me." And people were bashing him, but I thought that was one of the most beautiful statements I've ever heard.
Right.
Like, "I love me some me," which started me on this journey of endeavoring to love myself the way God loves me, not from a point of being arrogant, but just being accepting of your flaws, accepting of who you are, my nose, my stature, my height, my hair, bald head, just accepting yourself, because if we are created in the image of God, that has to create a level of security within ourselves in which we love ourselves, which hopefully we will begin to attract other people who love us the way God loves us, and the way we should be loving ourselves. Because mm-hmm. we should not seek to be in relationship with anybody who is almost intimidated by our love of self. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But can you, you know, why would you want to love a person who doesn't love themselves? I mean, you don't like you enough to love you.
Oh.
What you want me to do? You know, and that's gonna be heavy. Because if you don't love yourself and I give you all this love I have, I got to work on, you know, I already know if you don't love yourself, there's some insecurities. That's something going on.
Right.
You know, that's heavy going into that.
Yeah.
That should be one of the first questions we ask on the date. We need to write a whole book.
Yeah,
first date questions.
Do you love yourself? And how do you love yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do to show that you love yourself? I mean, I think a part of the misnomer in regards to self-love is that you're unwilling or unable to accept criticism. It's almost like you become defensive, almost borderline narcissistic, and that you can't see your faults. But I think when you have self-love, you're able to admit your faults, but at the same time, you're not gonna let someone minimize you or demean you because you fail, you missed the mark. But I think that's a part of the maturation process of learning to love yourself and to have a secure love of self. Secure love of self, meaning that it is tight, it is sound, it's stable, it's a foundation. That you're not caught up in what other people think of you.
Yeah.
And I think that for me as a Black boy growing up in a town that was almost 92-94% white, I struggled finding, you know, images and identity and relationships that were authentic. And so even right now, as I went back home last weekend, I realized like why I left this place, you know, and how it felt to be there as a little Black boy trying to, you know, build relationships. And now I'm at a place now, I don't really give a darn if someone doesn't like me because mm-hmm. I love me some me.
Mm-hmm.
And my love of self is very secure in that I know I'm not perfect, but I don't want to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Who wants to be perfect? Mm-hmm. I mean, I like making mistakes. I like learning. I like having flaws.
And we need to teach that mm-hmm. love of self. You know, we're busy teaching important things, you know, like ABCs and 1, 2, 3s to our children, but we also have to teach them that.
Yeah.
And that helps with bullying. Believe it or not, I was bullied in a way in elementary school.
Me too.
And it was these girls, you know, we call them now mean girls, but they used to always, you know, and I used to cry and they would say, you know, you think you're cute. And so, and you know, and it was just because it was nothing that I did.
Should you not think you're cute? So you think you're ugly?
I'm born this way. I'm looking how I'm looking. But, you know, my aunt did hair, so my hair was always done really nicely. My stepmom loved to shop, and she was, like, real anal about me having my pocketbook match my shoes and my coat. And then my grandmother sold Tupperware, So we had remember the top, I don't know if you remember the Tupperware lunch boxes. Mm-hmm. We had all the colors because she made my daddy buy all the colors because she was selling Tupperware. So my lunchbox matched. Everything was like that. It was nothing I was doing. I'm a kid, you know. And so it took one day in the sixth grade, I was tired of this girl every week. Well, I would, at the end of the day, I would go to the band room to get my flute. And her and somebody would always be out there. We don't like you because you think you're cute. And one day, and this could be me, but this was like the growth of Benita. I said, that's not why you don't like me. I said, you don't like me. And this is going to sound mean, but I said, you don't like me because you fat. And she was a big girl. But it was like, you, it ain't got nothing to do with me. You don't like you. Right. You know, and so that's like the bigger picture.
And how old were you?
I was in the sixth grade.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
But that was the beginning. It's like, I ain't think about these girls no more, you know?
So. But that's the root of bullying. Yeah. You know, you don't like somebody because you can't be them. You know, mm-hmm. or you're jealous of who they are. Because as a child, you had no control over who bought your clothes and what you carried.
They told me what to wear.
Yeah.
You know?
Boy.
Yeah, I just woke up and that's what she said I was going to put on. So that's what I put on.
And I think that often, because we're not teaching our children what love is, they fall prey to that bullying. Like that one bully all of a sudden gets like a whole host of other bullies. They're going to, you know, pick on one person. And that one person, you know, nowadays kids commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know, me on the other hand, I would sit at home and write down comebacks. Okay. You know.
So what you going to say tomorrow?
Yes. I was prepared, you know. And I knew I only had one chance because mm-hmm. I was a stutterer as a kid.
Okay.
And so I had to get this thing right. So I would always go for the jugular. And I'm like, all I got is a one-liner. I don't got no backup. I only got one pitch. And it's the most cruel thing I can say. You know, like you say, no, you fat. That's all I got.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you have to develop, I think that's like the protection you have to develop in order to keep people off of you. Like, you won't stop coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are not going to come from me like every single day.
Yeah. And they don't stop. I mean, this girl became my friend. You know.
Yeah.
Because she was, you know, everybody knew her. I think everybody was just afraid to say what the real truth was, you know, with this girl, like everybody she picked on. And so I said it.
Mm.
And so, you know, we became friends. It took a couple years, but we became cool.
Yeah, that's some insecure love there.
Yeah.
On you know, on her part,
yes.
That is. But, you know, even in relationships, you can find yourself being bullied by your significant other in terms of them taking you for granted.
Yeah.
Or them not appreciating you or making little sly comments about your character or sly comments about, you know, your weight or whatever.
Sometimes the people close to you is like, they're like, they know your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they use that, you know, to push these buttons, you know, to get under your skin. So, yeah. So we're going to take a break. This is a good time for a break. And when we come back, we're going to share. Ellis does homework for this show. So we're going to share this awesome article that he gave me about insecure love. So we'll be right back.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
We're back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation about love, life, and relationships. All right, so Ella shared this article with me as we were preparing for my show, and it's from a Bustle. I don't know if it's a magazine or just a website, bustle.com. 7 signs your insecurities are affecting your relationship, according to experts. So we were kind of going through, but we're going to breeze through, and then we're going to talk more about the ones that impact us. So number one, you have trouble fully trusting your partner. That's a big one because, you know, a lot of people do have trust issues. Mm-hmm. And where do those trust issues come from? Mm-hmm. You know, they kind
past
of
relationships.
Past relationships, but also, you know, relationships that we've seen,
yeah.
You know, like, and, you know, if you grew up in one of those households where, you know, the man had another family, mm-hmm. you know, around the corner, another whole family, mm-hmm. you know, then you may be one of those folks that come up and say, all men do this, yeah. you know, so you don't trust. So I can see that being one. Number two, you internalize your negative thoughts and turn them into actions.
I think we're all guilty of that at times. But I think that stems from not trusting your partner.
Okay.
And then you begin to think, oh, it's just you. You're making things up. You know, and then you start looking for things and being suspicious and making assumptions and having some false expectations.
And you act accordingly.
And you act accordingly.
Okay. I don't compress negative thoughts, so that's definitely not me. Number three, you compare yourself to your partner's exes.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't do that either. I always say he came up.
Yeah, I think I'm like the bomb anyway.
Yeah. Right.
It's like,
it took you so long to get here.
Like, I pity the person who comes after me.
Yes, you should say thank you. So, number four, your partner is constantly having to reassure you.
Nah, I don't need that.
I'm good. I'm loving myself, so I'm good there.
My self-love is secure.
Yeah, I'm good.
I got insecure when comes to other people, but
yeah,
I love me some
right. Number five, you rely on your partner to make you feel like you're enough. No, I don't really do that, but I do try and make sure, and maybe a little bit too much, that I am providing what he needs. And I probably do that a little bit too much. Because sometimes because what happens when I end the relationship is like I end it because of exhaustion usually. Like I've stretched myself a little bit too much
right.
to do some of the things that he may have needed that I really don't have time for. I really don't even want to do.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So I've added something else that's already complex person. That I am.
Yeah. I am me.
Okay. Number six. There's a feeling of distance in your relationship.
Always.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what it is and where it stems from.
Let's talk about
it. I know. It's always a lack of spiritual compatibility. Mm-hmm. It's always an issue of not being cared for. As if I'm going to care for you, but are you going to care for me? And being cared for is being thoughtful, being considerate. I'll never forget someone cooked for me, and they were so nervous and cooking for me that when they messed up, I knew it was because of...
It was too much pressure.
It was too much pressure. And so I ate the food, and it was not good. She knew it wasn't good. But I wanted to show her how much I appreciated her attempting, you know, to cook for me, to care for me, so on and so forth. Well, needless to say, we had a long discussion about the pressure that she put herself through. But then she told me, like, she always has an anxiety that she had to please somebody because she doesn't want to be let down. And I was like, God dang. But if we didn't have that conversation, I would never have known. Like, she never felt like she was enough in relationships.
Okay.
And she always felt like people dated her because she was pretty, but they didn't value her other qualities.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so she just felt like she wasn't enough. And so anything she did, it always came from position, I'm not enough. But we didn't have that conversation. No, I would have never known that.
Yeah. So distance, I do sort of relate to that one too, distance in relationships. But it's been for different reasons, I think. Like, I am a communicator, believe it or not. I like to talk. And I like to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. We could talk about all of this. And sometimes other people don't, you know, they don't like to talk, or they don't know how, you know, to communicate like I do. And so it creates that distance, you know, because I may be at you like, come on, Alice, what's wrong? Let's talk about it. You know, let's do this. But at the same time, you're like avoiding me because I'm getting on your nerves. I'm in what you're talking about. And so then you're distant from me because you want to, I ain't going to let up on you because I love you and I can solve all of your stuff. You know, that's how I feel. So I probably create the distance by being a bugaboo.
And if I can piggyback on that, I am a great communicator and I think I'm highly intelligent, and most men may not be as communicative as I am. I won't say they're not as intelligent, but so when I'm speaking about spiritual matters, I know people may feel intimidated by that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want to, they don't know. You know, it's like, if I don't know, I don't feel comfortable, I'm not going to talk about it. But a part of me learning is to communicate. And so.
But I wonder, is your profession, well, one of your professions, intimidating in itself?
Always. I mean, I've had someone, you know, I went on a blind date with, and she looked me up, and she, first thing she said, well, I'm a little intimidated. And I said, why? She said, well, because you're a pastor, and I'm not perfect. And I was like, what?
Who
I mean, that was what she said straight off and within 10 minutes. Well, the rest of the night was shocked because I didn't want to make her feel as though she was, you know, any more intimidated. So I kind of withheld and let her, you know, shoot the crap, you know.
Yeah.
I don't like small talk.
Right.
You know, I'm not a small talk kind of person. But you do get placed inside of a box. I mean, I'm a Christian, so I know that I do well with people who believe as I believe. But you don't have to have the same belief. But I've dated people who have different faith perspectives,
okay, and
it doesn't work out.
Okay.
You know, it just doesn't work out. Like, my cousin dated a man who was a Muslim. She's a Christian. He had a horrible relationship. But I also know people who've done that had a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know that's not for me.
It's not for you.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be my authentic self. And because if I can be my authentic self, like you just indicated, I will create distance to kind of go and, you know, find my comfort zone.
Yeah. All right. Did I lose the article?
So the seventh one is, you read too much into what your partner says. Ding, 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 cha-ching.
Would that be you, sir?
That is me. Because I am a literal person. And what you say, I pay attention to what everybody says. So if you say something, like, well, I didn't mean it that way. Like, yes, you did. You know, yes, you did. So I'm always reading too much into what people say. Always. Always. I wish I could stop.
Hmm.
But I think that comes from being a communicator.
Yes, I can see it. Okay, so now in this realm, you know, unfortunately, I think even our generation has kind of fallen prey to it. But we always do. We probably do a lot of texting.
Yes.
And
I love it though.
I love it. I like it. I should say. I don't know if I'm in love with it. Because, like, for me, if you're a direct communicator, and you're a direct communicator, when you're texting, you're saying the words, you know, whatever the words are. How you read them and how you hear my voice and fluctuation through that text, that's your business. you know, so don't tell me. So last week, my friend sent me a note. He's like, stop the attitude. I said something in the text. And the text was, it was really benign. And I was like, it's no attitude. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to get.
But did you have an attitude?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I wasn't even sober. And I don't hold grudges when I'm drinking. I don't have that ability. But I was just asking him about something. And so he took it that way.
Hmm.
And then, you know, he came back and apologized. But
is that his insecurity?
I mean, that's one of them things that, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Of course that's not me.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
you know,
think
he
so.
Took it that way.
I would think so. You know, as I'm listening, I'm learning something. And what I'm learning is we bring preconceived notions or preconceived insecurities into these relationships. I think the only way that you can resolve that is by having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Right? I've always dated individuals who would always say to me, oh, I don't do a good job of communicating, or I don't articulate my thoughts. And I'm like, yes, you do. You know, it's like, why is it so difficult to say what you think? Why is that hard? And why are we so challenged to express our deep, dark desires in relationships? Mm-hmm. Why is it such a challenge? I mean, where does that come from?
I mean, we know it comes from, you know, everything that we've experienced and rolled up into it. And we learn the most from things, I think, that hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the things that, you know, left the scars. And so, you know, we don't want to touch the hot stove again and get burned. But, you know, back to just reading stuff into it, why can't we just listen to the words? You know, like when somebody's talking to you, imagine like a robot is saying, it's no emotion in that. Just listen to the words. You know, do we have that ability to take out? Because sometimes when people do say things, they inflect. Like if you're a person and you're a counselor, and you can answer this better than me because I'm studying to be a life coach. But if you are a person who is a counselor, you have to listen to what the person says and to be able to discern or help them through whatever this crisis or, you know, this road bump is. Listen to what they say and take out the emotion.
One of my gifts is that I'm a good listener. And I'm able to, you know, rehash the conversations to make sure I'm hearing correctly. One of the things I've learned from being a counselor or a good listener is that oftentimes people really are talking things out. So as they're speaking, their thought is not settled. So they're kind of like talking things through. And I make the assumption is, oh, that's what you think. When in essence, they are really talking themselves through that. That's not necessarily what they think, but they're talking themselves through it to hear what they're saying so they can get a better understanding of what they feel and what they think. I'm thinking like, no, you said what you said. This is what you said. This is what you mean. You know, I get it. But that's not the case. And so I've always made that mistake in relationships. Again, thinking that someone is, what do you call it, reading too much into what people are saying. And so just letting them say what they say, you know, and just listening, you know. But if I don't have any kind of intimacy with you, I can do that. But if we have any kind of relationship, oh, yeah, I'm going all
you're
in.
You're all emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, because I want people to mean what they say and say what they mean. I was raised that way. Mean what you say and say what you mean. But most people are not like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you say, when we're in the intimate relationships, you know, we still want to not hurt their feelings. And, you know, until we do, you know, sometimes we do really want to cut deep, you know, because we're hurting. But I think it really all comes back to, you know, our experiences and how we perceive what's coming from the other side.
Right. I agree. But again, I think it goes back to what we talked about initially, that self-love piece. And having a firm sense of self so that you're not projecting on your partner or projecting on someone else.
Yeah.
Which is not easy.
Yeah. And we do that. I mean, we're human. You know, we're going through, you know, stuff that we're going through, and just not relationship stuff. Well, it is relationship stuff, but stuff that we're going through in this country right now. You know, people are, you know, attacking, reading too much, and it all comes from personal hurt.
Yeah, it is.
We've been hurt personally. So I want to go back to something that you said, and this has nothing to do with insecure love. Exactly. But I do have to say so, because I wrote this down. If I wrote it down, it must be profound. Boxes checked. So we're just talking about, in the beginning, you were saying, like, you know, this person checked up all the boxes. Mm-hmm. So I'm a person who, because I think of myself sometimes as kind of like an amoeba. You know, whatever you put me in, I'm going to fit in that container. You know, so I'm all contorted. I'm going to be all right. You know, I'm looking like this, you know, all squished down, but I'm going to be okay. I add new boxes. So, like, if I were dating you, and it was something about you that ain't really a box check, I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Let me write that down and put a box beside it. I'm going to check. So I think my boxes change. And then, like, if I meet the next person, and he may not have something that was on this list that I've carried over my new box, and I'm like, okay, but he got all these, so I'm going to get rid of this box. I don't need this box because I'm finding that I am having a good time with this individual, and he don't have that.
I think that's ingenious.
Oh, crazy.
No, I don't think it's crazy. I think it speaks to your creativity as an artist and your perspective on life. And that you are going to make sure that Benita
I'm good.
is straight either way. Like, listen, if it ain't a box for me, I'm going to create my own box.
Yeah, I'm
going to
create a box.
Or if it's not a box for you, I'm going to create a box for you so you can be accepted and welcoming to my circle. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Yes.
So what's wrong with that? I like that.
You know, because I mentioned one time before on a friend's page, they were talking about, what was she saying? Like, what are some must-haves or non-negotiables? And I told you I couldn't think of any, you know, at that moment, mm-hmm. like anything I wouldn't negotiate with. I mean, there are probably a couple. Like, I don't really want a cigarette smoker,
right.
You know.
Right.
But for the most part, like the big stuff, I don't like to put myself in a box like that. I'll figure it out.
I've got a whole list of things that, you know, that
you got non-negotiables.
Yeah, but it comes out of trying to make that work. Or I'm guilty of trying to make a square fit into a circle. Okay. And so I'm always trying to make something or someone fit into this puzzle that's already been put together. And I think you have to have some things that you just won't compromise on. For your own, it's because you're part of your own self-love. Like, certainly, I just won't compromise.
Yeah. I went as far as, so I'm going to put this out there, and we're going to take this break. So, it was this guy that I met, and in my mind, I was super in love with this guy, and I do love him still today. He's a friend. I'm super in love with this brother, and, I mean, he was, like, the protector, you know, because I like that, you know, the sex was slamming. I'm just being real. You know, he was a provider, but he had like a health issue, like a mental health issue. Mm. And I'm like, all right, I can work it out. You know, I can work with it. You know, I just got to know I can maneuver. But for real, it was something that, you know, we had to end it because that was too big,
right.
You know, for me to handle. So that is probably a permanent box, you know, that I'm not equipped to handle that.
Well, I think you're entitled. I think it's good that you know what you can't handle.
Yeah.
Like, I know what I can't handle. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing your limitations.
Yeah. And I did try to talk, you know, I did try to save it. You know, I was like, yeah, let's go to therapy. You know, you can get this help. And it is what it is. But I can't save everybody like I thought I could. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to try to.
There's only one savior.
In high school, I used to try to get the drug boys to take their SATs. Because I'm like, if you can do this, you can go to college. So I can save the world. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listen to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listen to Music, the intersection of music and culture.
We're back with Love Wins with Allison Benita. So this is good. So we've ironed out our insecure love is the topic. and we're kind of confused because in our break we start other conversations. So we got some good stuff in store
for the future.
Yeah, I'm over here write down stuff. So we got some good stuff for the future. So we appreciate you again for listening and just share the podcast. And thanks to Black Talk Radio Network for having us and hosting us. This is awesome. So, insecure love, we back there. We went through our bustle list of 7 signs of insecure love. And I think those are really good. That's a good start to some signs of insecure love, because I think all of us can relate to at least a couple of those. Or even if we haven't done it directly, we've been on the other side of those scenarios.
So I'm thinking how to evolve or transition from an insecure love to a secure love. Mm. And I think the best method is communicating, owning your insecurities, developing a plan to transition to a place of wholeness from woundedness. So I think the insecurity is a part of our woundedness, maybe our past, even our present. But if you're going to evolve to a secure love, you have to own your insecurities and almost ask yourself if they really matter. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how important are they? Mm-hmm. You know, and then how can we transition to a place of secure love without carrying the baggage of our insecurities, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like we have
to. So you gotta let it go. I mean, the only way you can't carry the baggage is to leave the bag. You know, you gotta put it over here. And that takes a lot of discipline and it takes constant reminders. I mean, these are the types of people who you gotta do these constant and repetitive affirmations,
yes.
You know, to remind yes. yourself. I used to love the show Being Mary Jane. Did you watch that show?
Mm-hmm. No, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Well, you got to go back and binge.
No.
It was... You ain't doing nothing else.
I got all that stuff I'm doing. I can't believe it.
But, you know, I think she had a lot of insecurities and she had a whole lot of stuff, Mary Jane did, but, you know, she used to put up these affirmations on post-it notes on her mirrors and, you know, everywhere around her home, on her bed, you know, on the bed frame, on the headboard, you know, just to kind of remind herself and say these things out loud, like, who am I? So if you have trust issues, maybe there's some quote out there that, you know, it's about, I am confident, I am love, I am beautiful, you know, to make you love yourself more, because as you said, it's all about love yourself more, because when you focus on yourself, it's really hard to focus on, you know, the other stuff. The small stuff, I should say.
But I do think that once you get into a committed relationship, you have to learn to take in consideration who you're with and learn how to accept them and their insecurities. Because that's a part of, you know, the love covers a multitude of sins or a multitude of insecurities. Because if love is going to win, love should be strong enough and broad enough and deep enough and high enough to cover someone's insecurities. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're consciously putting forth the effort to say, hey, I'm gonna love her no matter what. I'm gonna love him no matter what. But, you know, as you said, you gotta affirm it within yourself. You know, I'm not gonna make a big deal of this. It's okay, I'm not tripping. You gotta do whatever you gotta do in order to make this love win for yourself. Otherwise, you're gonna be in a place of insecurity forever.
Yeah.
Because ain't no one gonna be perfect. Even a unicorn could have a crooked horn. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Even a unicorn ain't perfect.
Damn, I've been out here looking for a unicorn.
Man,
I'm just gonna get a pony.
Man, when's the last time you've seen a unicorn? So just get you a pony and put a dunce hat on.
Yeah, exactly.
And just put a dunce hat on one of the ponies.
Pony ain't nothing but a unicorn.
That's all it is. That's all it is. Create your own unicorn. There we go. Create your own unicorn.
Create your own unicorn.
Create your own unicorn.
I like that.
Yes, indeed.
That's what I'm going to do. So I want to thank Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music.
Yes.
Radio for supporting us, spreading the word, and specifically Master P, or Big P, that's what they call him. He's the master DJ, Big P of the show. He helps us and he produces our show.
The Godfather.
Yes, that's what we call him, the Godfather, amongst other things. You can also find their podcast on Black Talk Radio Network. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at lovewinswithalisonbenita@gmail.com. We are working on those social media pages. I ain't just telling y'all that. We are working on them. But we have our individual pages. Benita Johnson is mine, and Ellis ODU Henderson is his. Another great show, partner.
Indeed. I'm enjoying it. Yes. Thank y'all.
All right. See y'all next week.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at lovewinswithellisandbenita@gmail.com.